We are blessed with good song leaders and good singers here at Knollwood. What a great way for us to start our worship this Lord's Day morning, breaking the dawn with praises. Last week, we talked about being more than conquerors from Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. And I want to use this passage as a springboard again today and to delve into a specific area of a hurdle or an obstacle that you and I as Christians need to be conquering. We need to be overcoming. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Remember, more than conquerors, that three-word phrase in the English comes from a single Greek word, hupernikeo, huper meaning over. And Nikeo being a form of Nike, the word for the Greek goddess of victory. And together these mean that we are overabundantly conquerors. Regardless of what Satan would throw at these Christians in Rome, and regardless of what Satan throws at us today, nothing can shake us from standing on that victory platform. Nothing can shake us and take us away from our status as being more than conquerors, be it tribulation, distress, doubt, discouragement, persecution, or even success. Sometimes we stumble over success. Nothing can move us from being conquerors. Now, specifically today, I want to talk about conquering or overcoming fear. Fear, the kind of fear we're going to talk about, we'll narrow that down in just a moment. Fear does not belong in the life of a Christian. 2 Timothy 1 and at verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." And yet, many Christians, including myself, we struggle with fear. We have to deal with fears. The Bible uses the word fear in at least two ways. As I said, we're going to clarify what kind of fear we're talking about. Sometimes the word fear means reverence or respect. And of course, that's a good kind of fear for us to have. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. And of course, what is man's all? Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, "Fear God and keep His commandments." So we are to reverence and respect God and respect others who are in positions of authority. But another way the word fear is used is to refer to terror or distress, panic, or alarm. These are all synonyms for the word fear with this particular meaning. And I remember finding this definition from Webster's Dictionary a long time ago, and I don't think it can be improved upon at all. This kind of fear is a feeling of anxiety and agitation caused by the presence or nearness of danger, evil, or pain. Now, the Scriptures commend definition number one. We're to have that kind of fear. But the Scriptures condemn definition number two. So we're going to dig into that. Now, I want to say this. This fear, that is, this terror, this dread, this should not be confused with caution. Caution has its place. It serves an important role for us as we are walking in wisdom. Fear of getting hit by a car causes us to be careful when we're crossing the street. We don't just walk out carelessly. "I'm not afraid of anything. I'm more than a conqueror." Yeah, here comes the truck and that's it. No, fear of getting hit by a car or any other danger causes us to be careful in the way that we live. But being overcome with fear to the point that we never leave our house, that's the wrong way for us to live. That's taking it too far. That's not normal. conquerors, and that's what we are as Christians. We're more than conquerors. Conquerors are wisely cautious, but are not paralyzed by crippling fears. And maybe this morning we're talking about fears, we're looking at this, and you're thinking, that's not a problem. Well, maybe not for you, but for others, fear is real. It's real. But regardless of how real it is, our fears are overcome by our faith. So I want to talk about that this morning. We could look at how it is that fear cripples us, paralyzes us. I think we all understand that. We know that. We have time constraints in this 9:30 hour. So I want to go straight to looking at some ways that we can overcome or conquer fear if that's our battle in our lives today. So we're going to look at four. We're going to look at how it is that we can conquer our fears through faith. Number one, we need to learn to trust God. You might say, well, I'm a Christian. I do trust God. Well, let's dig into this a little more deeply. Are you sure you've learned to really trust God? We'll have some scriptures up on the slides here to help us in our study this morning. Hebrews 11 and at verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It is impossible for you and I to please God or to have a pleasing relationship with God without faith." An important part of this faith, though, is trusting God to keep His word. That God means what He says. A little later in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have." There are some things we know we have to have in order to live, and we see people in the world around about us pursuing those things. Obtaining those things and retaining those things and storing up those things, that's what drives those people. That's not to be characteristic of the children of God. Why? Because God knows that we need those things. For He Himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Nothing. I will not fear. Why? Because I trust God. I trust God to take care of me. A teaching that we looked at last week from Matthew 10. This week I want to look at the same teaching from Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. The Lord tells us that we mean more to God than we may realize. Remember, Jesus is God in the flesh, and He is the most perfect revelation of who God is to us. And Jesus is coming and telling us some things that we need to know about God that perhaps we don't know and we don't understand. He says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? Well, in asking that question, the answer would be yes. That's the value that is placed on 5 sparrows, 2 pennies. What can you buy with 2 pennies today? You can't even give them away, right? Well, Jesus is saying 5 sparrows are barely worth 2 pennies. 2 copper coins. They are, in essence, worthless to you. And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Sometimes we can get lost in how big God's creation is, and we can find ourselves right there with David in Psalms 8 and verse 4 and 5. "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, all your creation, what is man that you are mindful of us, Who am I that you know me? And Jesus comes on the scene and says, God is more than just aware of you. God knows more about you than you know about yourself. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. And just like I did last week, you can insert your own bald joke right there. It's just asking for it. But seriously, God knows what that number is. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Can we not trust that God to take care of us? Can we not trust that God to calm our fears? One more passage with this particular point, going to the Old Testament. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar built a great gold statue, most likely of himself. He set forth a decree, whenever you hear the sound of the music, you bow down to that statue. And those three Jewish boys literally stood out like sore thumbs in that multitude of people who were bowing down. They refused to do it. They're brought before the king, the most powerful man in the world at that time, who is enraged and says, I'm going to give you one more chance. If you'll bow down, everything will be fine. But if you don't, the furnace is there and it's on fire and you'll be thrown into it. And their response, chapters 3, verses 16 and 17, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. That question isn't worth an answer. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King. That is faith that overcomes fear. And it is written for you and for me. We need to revisit this often so we can be reminded that we have nothing to fear, that we serve a God who keeps his word. We need to learn to trust God. That will help us to conquer fear. Secondly, it's very close to it, we need to learn to live in God's presence. What do I mean by that? Well, we understand intellectually, we understand that we're always in God's presence because God is omnipresent. God is everywhere all the time. There's nowhere we can go and be away from God. But you and I need to train ourselves. We need to learn to consciously live as if God is right there all the time. And that's easy to forget sometimes. When I was a little boy, I wasn't afraid of anything as long as I was with my dad. Because I had no doubt in my mind whatsoever that my dad could beat up your dad. My dad could lick anything. I had nothing to be afraid of as long as I was with him. I have nothing to be afraid of as long as I'm with my father. Nothing at all. We saw already Hebrews chapter 13 verses 5 and 6. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now we can forsake God, but he will never forsake us. Joshua, who had some big shoes to fill, he had to follow Moses. How would you like to have that task? To follow Moses. But yet, he's the man. And the first part of Joshua chapter 1 is God getting him ready for that work. And he needed it. Joshua 1 and at verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Why? Upon what grounds am I not to be afraid? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God has promised to be with us. Turn back, if you would, to the 46th Psalm. We don't have the time to dig into this psalm in detail. I would encourage you to read it and meditate upon it more, especially if this is striking a nerve with you and you are challenged by fear. Psalm 46 is a psalm for you. Psalm 46, let me read verses 1 through 7. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. What's going on here? A lot of hyperbole, a lot of exaggeration to make the point. Even though the armies of the world encamp against you and are ready to conquer you, don't be afraid, because God will show up, he'll utter his voice, and they will melt and scatter. And even though the earth is upheaved and mountains are moved and the earth is shaking beneath you, don't be afraid. We will not fear, verse 2. Why? Because of what is established in verse 1. God is our refuge. He's our strength. He is our very present help. Let's learn to live in the presence of God, and we'll have absolutely nothing to be afraid of. Let's train ourselves to do that. Let's learn to live in God's presence every moment of every day. Coming back to the New Testament, to Ephesians chapter 6, we need to put on and use the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, this passage is familiar to some of us, as the Apostle Paul is using this Roman soldier who he likely was chained to as he's writing this letter, as he's in prison in Rome. Ephesians 6 verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We have this armor. God has given us this armor, and this armor really is the Word of God. Because every piece of this armor corresponds to the Word of God. The belt of truth, your feet shod with the gospel, preparation of the gospel, the helmet of salvation, the gospel is God's power to salvation, the shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God's Word is our armor. But notice, we've got to put it on. Twice we're told to put it on, to wear it. How many times have you and I gotten up in the morning? We live busy lives and we eat and we put on our clothes. We shower, we get ready, we do all that, and we step out into the battlefield and we didn't take the time to put our armor on. And lo and behold, we lose that day. We lose a battle that day. We've got to take the time to put the armor on. We resist Satan's temptations like our Lord did. It is written. We use that armor. We quote that scripture. We overcome doubts. We overcome discouragements by remembering God's promises to us. We put on that armor. The more we study, the more we learn God's word, the stronger our faith becomes, the better equipped we are to use this spiritual armor. And we won't be walking out into the battlefield without our armor anymore. So how can we overcome the fear? Let's put that armor on. Let's write God's word on our hearts, and let's live it in our lives every single day. And then number 4, the power of prayer. Prayer really is a part of putting on and using this armor. The armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 starts at verse 10 and goes down through verse 17, spelling out the pieces of armor, verse 18 is a continuation of the sentence of verse 17. There's no period there. The sentence continues. We're talking about the armor of God, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We put on the armor, the prayer. We use the armor, we make it work for us with our prayers. Prayer is a powerful tool that God has given us to overcome fear. If you struggle with fear, if you struggle with fear in your life, this passage is for you. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Anxiety is a form of fear. It's a manifestation of fear, where we are overcome and preoccupied and halted because we're consumed with something that's bringing us fear. Be anxious for nothing. Don't give in to that. Don't be afraid like that. But pray. Prayer is the answer to that. And this prayer, when we cast our cares on the Lord, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, when we cast our cares on the Lord, we're getting rid of them. And we do that through prayer. And notice then, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds. And the picture here is of a citizen in a walled city who can carry on their everyday life, even though the enemy army is encircled, encamped around the city, and the war is going on, that guard is set. And that citizen can live their daily life without a care in the world, because the guard is there. Well, that peace is promised to us through prayer. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Here's another example. And there are several verses I want to look at here in Acts 4. That's why I don't have them on the slide. But I want you to turn Acts chapter 4. And again, notice prayer provides strength to overcome fear. The apostles, Peter and John, are arrested. And they're before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is the supreme court of the nation of Israel in that day. It's the highest ranking court. These are 70 leaders in Jerusalem. And they're telling Peter and John, stop preaching Christ. Now, Jesus trained them for this, commissioned them to do this, gave them the Holy Spirit to empower them to do it. But here's man saying, don't do it. Now, look at verse 21. Chapter 4, verse 21 says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go. So they've been told don't do it, and they've been threatened. Kind of like Nebuchadnezzar. You know, if you'll bow down to the image, fine. If not, here's the furnace. Well, this is their here's the furnace moment. They've been threatened. So they're let go, and they return to their companions. They return to the apostles. They tell them what has happened, and immediately they pray. In their prayer, they quote Psalm 2, which is a psalm about God anointing his king, and the nations rage. The nations are going to oppose this, and here they are opposing your anointed Christ. They're quoting this verse in their prayer, but they pray for strength. Verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They conquered their fear. How? Through prayer. want to tell you there is great power in individual private prayer. When you and I go into our inner room, like Jesus says in Matthew 6, and we close the door and shut out the world and we pray unto God, there is great strength in that prayer. There's great strength in the prayers of a small group, like these apostles. A small group of people get together in prayer. There's great strength in that. I don't know what happens in the ladies' class. I don't get to go to the ladies' class. But I know our young men's Bible studies we've been having for a couple of years now. I enjoy every bit of that, but a favorite part of that study is we go around the room. You have any prayer request? You have any prayer request? And we pray together. And how uplifting and encouraging and empowering that is. There's also great strength in congregational prayers. When we can pray together as a congregation in our services at the regular appointed times, or like last week, someone responds to the invitation and we can pray for them. In a couple of weeks, this hour is going to be a prayer service. We can find power in prayer as a congregation to help us to overcome our fears. One more example of using prayer to overcome fear, and that is the example of our Lord. On the night that he was betrayed, when he took his apostles, minus Judas, and went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, he left most of them there, and he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled. Notice Mark, notice what Mark details. He began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." What's our Lord going through right here? Fear. We recognize this, don't we? We recognize this. We know what he's going through. How does he handle it? First, he confides in some friends. That's important. That's another study. But I don't want to overlook that. But he prays. He prays. He went a little farther and fell on the ground, and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Prayer is not the verbal repetition of a magical formula that makes all our problems go away. That's not what we're doing when we pray. We're not chanting some kind of a charm that will make everything perfect. And when we pray, what we are doing is we are drawing as close as we can to God, who will, as our Father, keep us safe and take us through whatever it is we're having to go through. That's what we're doing when we pray. We are more than conquerors, more than champions, more than victors. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But we have to overcome that fear. We have to conquer that fear. We do so through our faith. Specifically, we learn to trust in God. We learn to live in His presence. We use the armor that He's given us. And we avail ourselves of the power of prayer. And that's what God has given us to overcome fear. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful that we have Your presence and Your word and Your promises in this world. We know that You've not taken us out of this world, but we know that You have given us everything that we need to rise above it, to overcome it, and to conquer it. We know that heaven awaits us, but we pray that You would help us in the here and now. And those of us who struggle with fears, we pray that You would help us to learn to live close to You, to trust in You, to put on Your word, and to lean on You in prayer. We're thankful for the peace that You give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.